NFL insider Jason LaCanfora, brought to you by Shank's Sports Grill. Two great locations, Shank's South on McLeod Trail and the newly renovated Shank's Crowfoot. Shank's Sports Grill, your home for the NFL.
And Jason joins us now from CBS Sports and CBSSports.com following a dominant LSU win in the national championship game last night over Clemson. Mr. LaCanfora, do you see any way Joe Burrow does not go number one overall in this year's draft?
Nope. No, I think that's got...
Even the Bengals can't screw that up?
Well, look, once they get him there, they might, but I don't see much derailing them from getting him there. They're at a crossroads with their quarterback. They benched Andy Dalton in the middle of the year to see what they had with the kid they took from NC State, which wasn't a whole lot, although I would say that, you know, that Finley had no chance. Anyway, but regardless, they need a quarterback. Mike Brown has never seen a bargain he didn't like. Getting a quarterback with that kind of potential for 5 years on a rookie contract is a bargain. He's an Ohio kid. He played at Ohio State. That's always resonated with the Bengals. I think that you don't have to overthink this one too much. And, you know, would if that is the case, would they be willing to franchise A.J. Green to have him around there for a year to play with him? A.J. Green would be pretty apoplectic at that prospect, but I just wonder if they'd be willing to do it, knowing that the quarterback's going to be a fixed cost, he's going to be a bargain. We've got Joe Mixon. You know, they drafted the left tackle out of Alabama last year who never got on the field. They expect, you know, him to play next year. Do they bring Eifert back for another year? You could start to see the makings of them not being abysmal on offense. Now, the defense needs work, too. It's hard to be as bad as they were this year. But, you know, I Joe Burrow, man, if he doesn't look the part, then nobody does.
Yeah, it's a good point. So you're right. They could probably screw it up once they do it, but makes way too much sense for them not to draft Burrow number one overall, which leads us to the other question, leads me to my other question. Are we talking, Jason, about the next two number one overall selections? Because as we look ahead to 2021, Trevor Lawrence at Clemson looks like he's already locked in at number one there, too.
Yeah, I mean, look, Lawrence, if he was allowed to come out last year, would have been a top five pick, probably first overall. So another year of seasoning. Probably didn't hurt for him to finally lose a game, although for him, I'm sure he didn't want it to be in the national championship. But that LSU team is loaded. I mean, they've always had a defense. And then now that they've, you know, what they've gotten out of Joe Burrow since he transferred there, that was, I mean, look, 15-0 and running the gauntlet in the SEC and you know, making short work of most of those teams, that's a real Herculean team that Clemson ran up against. They gave him a game for a half.
We're in conversation with our NFL insider, Jason LaCanfora from CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. He joins us on Tuesdays and Fridays right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Jay, good to reconnect with you. Sorry about that. You were right in the middle of your chat or your answer about Trevor Lawrence, and I guess you were just before you dropped out talking about how, you know, probably didn't want to lose that first game in the national championship.
But the team he lost to, I think, you know, over time could be looked at as one of the historically significant college team. I mean, what Joe Burrow did, they've always been loaded on defense in LSU, and that team was pretty special. To run the gauntlet, go 15-0 in it, playing an SEC schedule and
yep,
dominating pretty much everybody they played. You know, Lawrence isn't seeing that kind of competition week in, week out, but he'd have been the first overall pick or you know, somewhere in the top three last year. If he could come out this year, it would be the same thing. And next year, as long as he doesn't get hurt, that's somebody's franchise quarterback.
And just a final thought on the national championship. It's funny, you work at CBS, and CBS has the longstanding agreement with the SEC. And when Ed Orgeron was hired at LSU, it was widely mocked. There were a lot of people who were making fun of the voice and saying, what are they doing hiring this guy? Didn't you see how it went in his last stint? And now here he is as head coach of the national champion LSU Tigers. Just a thought on the story that is Ed Orgeron.
I mean, look, he's not the prototypical football coach. He's got, you know, some rough edges, but he's real. He's been the same guy everywhere he's gone. He's clearly a master motivator. He relates to these kids on an emotional level. And he's not going to sit there and X and O you to death, but there's different templates for coaching success. And that, you know what, probably is. Baton Rouge is probably the perfect place for him. And they've obviously fallen hard for him, and he's fallen hard for them. And, you know, you don't have to be Joe Corporate. You don't have to be totally buttoned up, you know, especially in college football. So, you know, hats off to him, man. He did it his way. You know he can recruit. You know kids gravitate to him. And he's put together a heck of a staff. And look, hiring Joe Brady from the Saints was a genius move. And he got Burrow into a pro-style offense. And it's going to have Burrow as the first overall pick. And a year from now, Brady will be back in the NFL running somebody's offense. And if he runs it the way he ran LSU's, you're going to start hearing head coaching buzz about him within a couple of years.
He is Jason Lockenfora. He's our NFL insider from CBS and CBSSports.com. It's official. Kevin Stefanski's in as head coach of the Cleveland Browns. Tell us about the fit. Do you like it? Do you like the hire?
I mean, look, that's where coaches go to get their careers derailed or in many cases, expunged. I mean, it's not just about the coach. It's about who he's working for and who he's working with. And if you've paid any attention to the Cleveland Browns the last decade, you would have to have reservations. And look, there are people close to Kevin Stefanski I know well who, you know, felt like he had to take the job, but they really wish it wasn't Cleveland. And they wish it wasn't Cleveland coming off a one and done with a room full of big personalities, and now he's got to try to sort out somebody else's mess. They wish it wasn't Cleveland, you know, with Paul DePodesta being more empowered than ever. And what that's going to look like from a front office standpoint and from picking players and et cetera. You know, they did this with Sashi Brown working for DePodesta. Now, they didn't have the head coach they wanted. Those guys wanted Sean McDermott at the time, and the owner picked Hugh Jackson, diametrically opposed, couldn't find a more different guy than Sean McDermott on every level. But now that they have the coupling of the young, analytically inclined head coach with the, you know, that who completely embraces what the analytics and strategy guys are selling. It's a baseball model. I mean, that's really what it is. I mean, they're going to have a lot of input in what Kevin Stefanski does on game day and leading up to game day. There's no doubt that Paul DePodesta right now is the singular most powerful person in that organization who doesn't have Haslam for a last name. And that's not going to change, at least this year. It could certainly change by next January because, again, we're talking about the Haslams in Cleveland. I'm wondering, you know, what is the staff going to look like? I have concerns about that. Who's going to be the bad cop? Who's going to be the guy who sits down with Baker Mayfield and says, hey, son, you need to be working out more and in front of the camera less this offseason? You know, who's going to sit down with Odell and have difficult conversations with him? Who's going to hold guys accountable when they're swinging helmets at each other or acting the fool on the sidelines or getting ejected from games? I mean, I'm sorry, Kevin Stefanski at 38 years old and no head coaching experience anywhere doesn't come in and immediately guys go, oh, man, we better shape up. It just doesn't. So nothing's worked in Cleveland. I like Kevin Stefanski a lot. I think he has a lot to offer, but no one's been able to overcome the hurdles you got to overcome in Cleveland.
So where does this leave Josh McDaniels then?
It leaves him as the offensive coordinator of the New England Patriots, and maybe that's with Tom Brady, and maybe that's not.
Yeah. So how does this guy end up not being a head coach this offseason?
I mean, really, it came down. I mean, honestly, a lot of the blame falls on his agents. I mean, his agents represent him. They represent Mike McCarthy, and they represent Matt Rhule. And I'm telling you, the Carolina Panthers were all about Josh McDaniels. They absolutely wanted to meet with him as soon as they could. When the Patriots got eliminated, they wanted to bump up the interview. Bill Belichick said no. Bill Belichick did everything he could to obstruct Josh Daniels from getting an opportunity. That's just a fact. And at the same time, his agents, instead of setting it up so that Matt Rhule at least meets with the Giants, you know, so you push Rhule back a day, you know, that would have given McDaniels on Tuesday or Wednesday of last week. Belichick wouldn't have talked to anybody Sunday or Monday. But if his agents would have structured the rule interviews a little differently and given the Giants first crack at him, then Josh could have been the first person to meet with the Panthers. And if Josh met with the Panthers, that owner would have been prepared. I don't know if it would have been 7 years and $60 million, but, you know, they had done a lot of work on Josh McDaniels. They felt like Josh McDaniels or Matt Rhule was going to be their next head coach. They weren't sure Rhule wanted to come to Carolina because he's got ties to the Giants and because he loves it at Baylor. But I really think if Josh would have had the opportunity to talk with the Panthers, that he would have been hired, you know, within 12 hours of the interview, just like Matt Rhule was. Instead, he didn't get to interview them. The Giants panicked and hired Joe Judge. You know, and then his last interview, and this game was his only interview, his last scheduled interview, was with the Browns. And he was not going to Cleveland to have, you know what I mean, to have Paul D. Podesta looking over his shoulder at his playbook every week. Like, that was never going to work in a million years. And obviously, the ownership there and Jimmy Haslam was wedded to that model. And he wasn't going to go back to a traditional coach and GM setup. And Josh wasn't going to go there to answer to a bunch of number crunchers. It just wasn't happening.
Right. And just a final thought on that. So Bill Belichick, as you said, does everything he can to obstruct this. How does Josh feel about going back to be his offensive coordinator next year?
He's got a contract, and, you know, this is not the first time he's been through all of this with Belichick. And the reality for the Patriots is, for the first time since they drafted Tom Brady, they've got to recruit him. And let's face it, they drafted him in the sixth round, pick number 199. There wasn't a whole lot of recruiting that needed to be done. They've got to sell Tom Brady on why the last few years of his career should be spent in New England. If Josh McDaniels leaves the building, it's a bit of a tall task on the surface. You take McDaniels out of the equation and you're promoting some unproven coordinator, or you're trying to rehire Chad O'Shea, who you let go a few years ago. It makes it monumentally more difficult. So, and when McDaniels had to deal with Indianapolis, it was the same thing. Belichick didn't, you can take my Patricias, Flores, you guys can go. I run the defense anyway. But if they would have lost McDaniels at that point 3 years ago, they really felt like we're going to have a hard time winning in the next couple of years while we're breaking in some other coordinator. There was no next man up on the staff. You know, and they really put it to Josh and, hey, we got a chance to win six and we got a chance, you know, history and don't go now. And he pulled out of the Colts situation.
Yeah.
I do think he will get a chance to be a head coach again. But a lot of people do have a bad, you know, have bad feelings about what he did to the Colts, and that hasn't helped him. But again, if he gets that interview with David Tepper, I would be shocked if he's not the head coach of the Carolina Panthers right now.
And a final thought for you, pal, and that's just on some early thoughts. Here we are on Tuesday, so we still have 5 days until kickoff. But some early thoughts on the AFC and NFC championships, anything that jumps off the page to you from either matchup early on?
Well, I mean, in the AFC, you know, look, the top seed there has just an otherworldly offense that we saw in the span of that second quarter last week, just flip a game on its ear like I've never seen in my life. I've seen big comebacks and Frank Reich coming back on the Oilers, but that was a slow grind that took a bunch of, you know, bounces and onside kicks and stealing possessions over the course of three quarters to pull it out. They flipped it. They took the lead faster than they fell behind 24-0. I mean, it's unfathomable. And it didn't happen in a preseason game, and it didn't happen in Pop Warner. They went on a 51-7 run against somebody in the playoffs where it's supposed to be the best of the best, and they didn't even need the fourth quarter to do it. The game was over before the fourth quarter started. So they just sat on the ball. I mean, they could have scored 70 if they wanted to. Unbelievable. And in the NFC, you've got an otherworldly defense. And what San Francisco can do with that defensive line, and they're rested and healthy now, it's a real bear for people to handle. And Kyle's going to run the heck out of the football. Kyle Shanahan, the 49ers head coach, he runs that outside zone scheme that's tried and true, going all the way back to when his dad was coaching the Broncos, and it would be Orlandis Gary 1 year or Clinton Portis the next year or some other dude we all forgot about the year after that, and they'd still be leading the league in rushing. That's an airtight scheme. And I think the Packers are going to have problems with it this week. So I just think that we're on a collision course towards that. And maybe the Titans have another upset in them. I don't mean to sell them short at all. What they've done is magnificent. But this, you see what happened last Sunday, and you start to think that maybe the football gods are finally shining on Andy Reid in January and February instead of frowning at him.
As always, appreciate it, pal. We'll talk to you again on Friday. Thank you, Jay.
Look forward to it. Thank you.
NFL insider Jason LaCanfora, brought to you by Shank Sports Grill. Two great locations, Shank South on McLeod Trail and the newly renovated Shank's Crowfoot. Shank Sports Grill, your home for the NFL.